In a brightly lit display hall, more than a dozen sedans, trucks, and SUVs are lined up. Front ends are crushed, windshields shattered, airbags deployed.
When we started our first high-speed crash test program in 1995.
Leading a tour, Marshy Agee said they sent a vehicle at 40 miles per hour into a barrier to test how the front driver's side would hold up.
With only 40% of the front end of the vehicle absorbing the crash energy, especially in the early years, a lot of occupant compartments were not up to the task and they collapsed.
And when the front of a vehicle collapses, it can cause intrusion into the occupant compartment, and that can result in death or serious injury. At the time, about half of the vehicles in this test received a marginal or poor rating. By 2013, every vehicle tested got a good rating. But there are still too many deaths, more than 30,000 a year. So the Institute continues to look at what's called crash worthiness using six different high-speed tests.
Our latest crash test, the passenger side smell overlap test, is actually one that developed from some of the research that I started.
Becky Miller is a senior research engineer. She says when they developed the test for the driver's side, they discovered manufacturers weren't putting the same improvements into the passenger side.
Originally, we thought it was a pretty small problem, and we ran some research tests and found that more than half of the vehicles that we tested in that first group were not providing the same protection for drivers and passengers. And that's something that we wanted to promote and improve in vehicles, so it became a new test.
The group on tour gets to see this test inside the 22,000 square foot crash hall and from a safe distance on an observation deck. That's where I meet Michael Saccone. He joined the Institute in 1979.
Well, I've been here 38 plus years now.
Saccone is director of crash worthiness evaluations. He chooses the vehicles, supervises the tests, and writes up the ratings. Today's test examines what happens when about a quarter of the car's outer passenger side hits a barrier.
And this simulates a car going off the road, hitting a telephone pole or a tree, or another vehicle of the same weight.
We can't disclose the make and model of the vehicle yet. The Institute is still working on their latest ratings. But Saccone has a prediction.
This vehicle being a new design, we would expect it to do well in both. It already has done well in the driver's side small overlap test, and we expect it to do similarly in the passenger side small overlap test. But we don't know for sure. We'll see.
Preparation takes days, but the test itself is quick. And a warning, you're about to hear the jarring sound of the vehicle crashing.
Charging is complete. Test will commence in 3 seconds. 2, 1. We're underway.
The test completes. The crew enters the crash area to sweep up debris, and Saccone takes his clipboard down to inspect the vehicle.
Structurally, it looks pretty good because the occupant compartment doesn't show much deformation. We just have a minor kink here on the A pillar, and the door is actually in pretty good shape here.
We head to the back of the vehicle where sensors and cameras have recorded what happened inside. A technician connects a laptop so Saccone can see how the crash test dummies responded.
Oh, okay.
That looks good.
Looks good.
The Institute's tests and rating system have pushed manufacturers to make safer cars. This, combined with improvements to road design, has helped bring down the number of motor vehicle deaths from about 51,000 in 1980 to about 33,000 in 2010, even while the population grew by 82 million. But fatalities are increasing again, including for groups like pedestrians and motorcyclists. The Institute is studying these areas too, says Becky Miller, and evaluating crash avoidance technology like automatic braking and blind spot detection.
We aren't going to be able to get down to zero deaths on the roadways without doing both aspects in some way. Warning people, being a second set of eyes for people, trying to prevent crashes from happening, but then protecting people when they are in a crash.
Next week, we'll look at some of these technologies and the role of more traditional safety features like seatbelts and headlights. For Virginia Currents, I'm Catherine Kump, WCVE News.